Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Hope you're having a great day to this point. I know we are. The trade deadline tomorrow with the Nashville Predators in the NHL, and of course we'll talk to Greg Wyshynski at 2 o'clock to get more on that, but the Predators have been busy over the course of the last few days as they have traded Mike McCarron, Cole Smith, and Nick Blankenberg last night. All these guys had expiring contracts, so they're able to get draft picks. So they have now acquired a second and third in 2028 and got a fifth. Let me check the year, but a fifth for Nick Blankenberg last night. And then have recalled some of the young guys. Ryan Ufko, who's a defensive prospect, has been recalled. Fedor Svechkov has been recalled as well. So they will join the team will Reed Schaefer. You're going to see the young guys. For those of you that this has been what you've been wanting, well, here you go.
Would it be great if they go in just a burner?
It would be awesome.
I mean, win like
happened
eight
a few
in a
years
row.
Ago.
Yeah, win like eight in a row, get back into. I'm excited for it. You never know what could happen. So, are there more going to happen? Probably more trades.
Yeah. I mean, I would look at. Eric Halla, Michael Bunting, and potentially Nick Perbix is being moved. Perbix will have a year left after this year on his contract. He just signed here as a free agent. But I don't think O'Reilly gets traded. I don't think Stamkos gets traded, even though there are some rumors out there that teams are inquiring.
Would you?
I'd have to really be blown away. I mean, I'm going to give the same answer that Barry Trotz is giving. Like, I'm talking multiple firsts and prospects and, you know, a roster player that's basically going to be able to fill that spot right now.
Would it be great, though, if you traded Stamkos and O'Reilly. You got much all whatever. You brought up some guys, and they got better.
It would be something.
Right? I mean, the chances are nil.
You're not, yeah.
But.
I mean, if you do that.
You're a hero.
You're throwing in the towel for the rest of this year, and you're basically saying that, like, at least next year and beyond, you're not going to be very good because you're going to be young.
Yeah.
Now, you'll still have, like, Forsberg and Yossi, which you could have discussions over the summer if they're like, hey, we've loved it here, but, you know, we want to go win a cup. You know, could we look at that? You could certainly have those conversations, too.
Good Lord. Can you imagine those two gone?
But – That's a rebuild.
Right.
That's what that is.
Would be, yeah. I can't imagine a Preds team without Yossi or Forsberg.
No.
I mean, that's 11, 12, 13 years now. Also couldn't imagine a team without Pekka, and he's been gone now for 4 years, 5 years. Or Shea Weber. I mean, it happens.
Yeah, I mean, the guys get older and retire. And so, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next – 24 hours, basically. I think 2 o'clock Central Time tomorrow is the deadline. So.
And you'll be on the air.
We'll be on the air. Yeah. So,
getting it done, man.
Yep. So we'll see what happens there.
Are they going to miss, like, Blankenberg?
Yeah. I mean, Blankenberg was a young, hungry defenseman who's been pretty good on the second power play unit. And I think he's had a really good year. So
I just don't like trade. Wasn't there a trade to Minnesota, too? Who went to Minnesota?
McCarron.
I just don't like trades within the division.
Well, I don't either, but it's good for McCarron because he really played well under John Hines. So I think that's a system he flourishes in. So that'll be good for him. And Minnesota needed more grit.
Right?
That's why you ask for a second-round pick for
good.
A guy that,
all right.
You know. So they play tonight against Boston, and it'll be fun to see, you know, how Schaefer we've seen him a lot this year, but how he's developed since he's been down, and same with Svechkov. And then Ryan Ufko leads the Admirals in points.
Bring him up.
Very touted defensive prospect, so I look forward to seeing him.
Bring him up. Let him play, right? I mean, you got to at some point or other, you got to let him play.
Yeah.
We said that about Jackson Slater with the Titans and some of their draft choices. You got to see him at some point. The opportunity is there. Can you, in that moment, show what you have and what you can do? So I'm excited. I mean, I hate to see guys leave and go, man, but as a fan, I mean, the future could be very bright.
And for people wondering, okay, you know, why not call up more skilled forwards? Schaefer and Svechkov kind of fit the same game as McCarron and Smith, so you're just kind of trying to replace that a little bit. I think Kimmel is going to be on the way at some point. You know, if they move Michael Bunting, I think Joachim Kimmel needs to be called up and needs to play and get him top 6 minutes. Yeah, let me call Barry right now. Make that happen.
Look, Barry.
I don't have to say that. I just be like, you know, Barry, what's up?
Say, on this very popular show, my co-host knows all.
He's aware. Don't worry. He's aware.
He knows all about hockey, and then I think you should listen to him. What's his name? I'll pass. We're not doing that today.
So I'll be curious to see this because, I mean, they got, what, 20 games, something like that, left?
Any other big names that have been traded across the league?
They have 21 games left. Yeah, I mean, hang on. I actually don't have the list.
Because I don't know. God bless you, pal.
Thank you. Let's see. Because I have not looked in the last little bit. Nicholas Roy has been traded from Toronto to Colorado for a first-round pick in 2027 or 2028. That's pretty big. Nick Dowd goes to Vegas from the Capitals. Edmonton and Chicago made a deal last night. Jason Dickinson and Colton Dock go to Edmonton for Andrew Mazepin and a conditional first-round pick. Utah got Mackenzie Weegar, a defenseman from Calgary.
Utah, give me two.
Yeah, so I mean, there's definitely a lot of moves being made. I think what people are watching, what's St. Louis going to do? Because they got a couple of guys that they could acquire quite a bit.
Chase, what are they going to do?
I don't know. I don't live or work there.
Well, you've got a kind of finger on the pulse.
I'm trying.
In the National Hockey League right now.
So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. I mean, I'm good with what they're doing. Because I think at this point it's like,
look, man,
you could have made the run, but
if you're throwing the white flag, why are you keeping O'Reilly?
Because
I know people love him. He's great.
Because I think you think you can reload for next year.
With him?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good.
So, I mean, there are rumors that they're blowing it up, that they're trying to sell anything and everything they can, you know, but who knows? Skyler wants to know, is Riker Lee still in college? Want to see his offensive skill in the press? I believe he is. Kevin in Hendersonville, is this them throwing in the towel for the season? Yes, absolutely. 0862, I thought they were doing a rebuilding job. Why don't they get rid of Marchessault and Stamkos and build for the future? I understand keeping O'Reilly and those guys, the original guys that will give the ones just starting out and build from that. I mean, I think that's what we're talking about. They're potentially looking. I don't think there's going to be much interest right now in Marchessault because he just hasn't been very good here. But if they could move him, they'll try.
Okay.
But at the same time, you know, keep in mind, some of these guys, O'Reilly does not, but Stamkos has trade protection, so if he's like, no, I like Nashville, I'm not moving, that's his call.
Oh, he's playing his ass off right now, so I'm good with that.
Chuck says, I have a problem with not moving people off the top two lines. That's where the Predators need help and need change. Again, Chuck, understand, trade protection is in play. The player has a say in it.
I hate trade protection.
You can argue it. if you want. And they, and I agree. I think they handed that out a little too much with some of these deals. But, you know, right. if you go to a guy and he has a full no move and you're like, hey, would you waive that? And they say, no, there's nothing you can do about it.
Let me ask you a question. Who's the best hockey player the Nashville Predators ever had?
Probably Roman Josi.
Not Paul Kariya.
Well, are you talking about just in general or at the time they played for the Predators?
The time that they were here. I mean, that's good defenseman.
I mean, Roman Josi won a Norris Trophy.
Okay.
So I would say him. I mean, Pekka. Pekka's up there. I mean, he won a Vezina.
Shea Weber.
Shea's up there. He should have won a Norris.
He never did.
No, but he should have. He should have won too.
I counter with Kariya, and I think because
Kariya's up there for sure.
Because when he signed here, I'll never forget. I was with Pete Weber the day that happened.
I'd say yeah.
Pete
I would say yeah.
That put the Preds on the map.
Yep, it did.
It became Nashville became a destination for hockey players.
Yeah.
Up until then, it was like I don't know. But then he came here, and then boom. And, of course, when Peter Forsberg played in that 07 season, and then that was a lot of fun. But it was I thought Kariya was, at the moment, we were all still learning about hockey, and it was just a heck of a thing, man. Steve Sullivan's pretty damn good when he came over from the Chicago. Is that where he was? Steve Sullivan?
Yeah. He got traded from Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
615-737-1025. Is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com? We'll continue this discussion next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show live from the Omni Nashville Hotel. Next week, we're all over the place. Monday, we'll be at Salvo's in Mount Juliet for National Meatball Day. We're excited about that. Dr. Crane will come with us out there. So, Dr. Crane, there's not a better place to celebrate National Meatball Day than with you than at Salvo's Monday. So you ready for this adventure?
Absolutely, man. You know, it's tough to eat another person's Italian food, but I'm still going to enjoy it.
You better, pal. So we're going to look forward to that. It'll be a lot of fun. So we're out and about all next week. We're looking forward to that. Trade happening in the National Football League. The Buffalo Bills have landed a new top target for quarterback Josh Allen, agreeing to trade with the Chicago Bears to acquire receiver DJ Moore. Buffalo is sending a 2026 second-round pick to Chicago in exchange for Moore and a 2026 fifth-round selection, sources told Adam Schefter. The trade cannot be officially processed until the new league year starts next Wednesday. Dr. Crane, it changes almost every day, maybe hour, about, all right, they're going to get this guy, that guy's going there. What it does, it changes a free agent board, and it changes your draft board.
Yeah, it also changes a little bit of the draft capital of, you know, what it's worth in some aspects. Because, again, a second and a fifth, I mean, that's about right for a 28-year-old wide receiver. But, you know, you look at what DJ Moore can do. He's a versatile wide receiver in the NFL. You can put him not in the backfield, but put him in the slot, put him out wide. You can motion him across the offensive line and just create a lot of different, you know, complexities to the offense that makes the defense have to really react quickly.
So does that mean that Chicago, the Bears now, are going to be in the free agent world looking for a wide receiver? That could affect the Titans. If the Titans are going to go after Wandale Robinson or Alec Pierce, I mean, now you got a new guy that's going with you.
I don't think so. I mean, you look at what they have right now. They have Roma Dunze, Luther Burden, Cole Kmet. They have the other tight end as well that his name is escaping me. But, you know, you have some key assets on your offense. And, again, you have Caleb Williams. I think a lot of Bears fans are pretty pleased with, you know, what they saw last year in the playoffs. And obviously losing one of your young offensive linemen this past, I guess, couple days to retirement, that does hurt. But besides that, they have a decent core right now, and especially at the wide receiver room. There's a lot of proving grounds. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of proving grounds for a guy like Luther Burden. Was wide receiver 3 last year for them, so hopefully he can kind of catch some stride and see what he can do.
I don't know. I just I think the Bears had something rolling right there, and now you've kind of taken a piece out of that. I don't know. I mean, we'll see with that, but the center retiring for the Bears the other day is huge. Now they can go look for in free agency, probably for a center. The Titans got to look for a center in free agency, so there's a lot of moving parts there as well to see who they get. So I'm telling you, man, what's legal tampering? Monday, is that when that starts?
I believe so.
I mean, all the deals are going to be out that day, right? I mean, it's going to be – word will be getting out. Schefter will have all that stuff, and Ian Rappaport, all the guys will have all the breaking news about that. So we'll see. But, I mean, the Titans, You know, now they got competition for a center. They need a receiver. I'm not sold on Wan'Dale Robinson anymore. I just
– Why is that?
I don't know. 5'8", 180. I don't know, man. I want to – and I know Pierce didn't set the world on fire with 1,000 catches, man, but you just need that over-the-top deep threat.
Joe, do you believe in me?
Do I believe in you?
Yeah.
Of course. I see you every day.
Do you believe in a David James?
Do I believe in a
– Do you believe in Ian Safar?
Yeah, but none of you run a 4.440.
They're all taller than me, Joe. 5'8 is just a number. Height is just a number. You believe in Xavier Restrepo last season, right?
He's a slot guy.
Doesn't matter. He's still a receiver.
He's a slot.
Joe.
A slot receiver is completely different. You know this.
I know, but say it with conviction to know that I know that you're telling me the truth.
All right. Well, if they get Wan'Dale Robinson, I understand him. He's got the relationship with Brian Daboll and brings him here, and I'd still be excited, but I just need a guy to take off the top and then let DK and Iowa Manor and other guys, you know, do the intermediate routes. I mean, it's just the formula that works in the National Football League. It's always been that way.
To me right now, looking at this Titans team, the one word I've been stressing across these airwaves for the last 3 to 4 weeks is continuity. You got to have continuity, and they have that with a guy in Brian Daboll, along with, you know, if you bring in a guy like Wan'Dale Robinson, there's been, you know, little rumors and reports online that they're linked to that, that they both have mutual interests. So if you can land that, that's great. Again, I'm on the opposite, you know, pendulum swing here when it comes to Alec Pierce. I'm just not a fan of that. I get the whole point of taking the top off the defense, but you can still, you know, create some versatility with that wide receiver group you have if you bring in a Wan'Dale Robinson, a Chim Dike, and then an Elik Iomaner. I think you can still do that with those three. You know, to me, you put like an Elik or a Wan'Dale, it's vice versa. It's whatever you want to pay for those guys. But I think they can do the same thing just about.
I'm telling you, if I'm playing you and I'm a defensive coordinator and I know you don't have a deep threat, you're done. You're done.
We'll have to see about that.
You're done. You don't have a deep threat on that team, then I can play a completely different defense. I get pressure. Because you don't have a guy going down the middle of the field. And if you can, I get you single coverage with a safety and not to worry about it. All right, just my corner sticks with you the whole time. I mean, you need – and it's complimentary, man. You got to have that stuff. I mean, New England, when they got Randy Moss, I know he's a Hall of Famer, but still at the same time, you knew that Moss was going to go – and it scared the defenses to death. I know they didn't still win a Super Bowl either, so.
Yeah, I think of it this way, too. If you're an offensive coordinator, you just keep taking everything underneath. Set it up for a play action. Because, look, the Titans were one of those teams back in the day when they had Ryan Tannehill, along with, you know, A.J. Brown and so forth. They were a great play action team. I think this Titans team that's going to be playing this fall, if they were to get maybe a Jeremiah Love or even a Reuben Bain or whoever they go grab, I think in free agency, if you get a decent wide receiver, you can go back to those play action years of the Tennessee Titans where you have successful wins on that chalkboard.
Well, that's what you need a Jeremiah Love, because I am not falling for a play action with a Tajay Spears or a little bit of a Tony Pollard. It worked because you had Derrick Henry.
You're right.
I mean, it worked. I mean, that I'm telling you, man. Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman was a great play action because you were scared to death that Emmitt was going to get the ball. And also, you go back to those Cowboy teams. You talk about Irvin, Michael Irvin, but they had Alvin Harper. Was a deep threat out of Tennessee, and you couldn't stop him. So there's your over-the-top. You had Irvin intermediate. You had Novacek getting out, and they opened the tight end. I know we're talking about an offense that's 35 years ago, but it worked. The 49ers were the same way with Jerry Rice, John Taylor, Brent Jones, Montana, Roger Craig. You had all that stuff. Look at these great teams that win multiple Super Bowls. They have those components which can really dissect your defense and get down the field. Now, it's adapted and changed a little bit, but – you know, look at Stafford, I mean, with him, with Puka Nacua, and when he had Cooper Kupp there for a little bit, I mean, they won the Super Bowl in 21. They also had, at the same time, had the play action that worked. So, I don't know, man. Here's the deal, Dr. Crane. I'm excited for what the Tennessee Titans could do. And I haven't been excited about this franchise in a long time.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You remember when I sat in for Chase on, I think it was a couple Wednesdays ago? It was actually when when Ty Simpson was making the big news about, you know, the Rose Bowl and so forth. I told you, and we had the conversation of the – I think it was the question of the day. It was, what do you think the Titans will do next season? I said they'd be – oh, it was like the most outlandish take, you know, whatever you had. I said Titans would make the playoffs and maybe a 9-8 season. I think that is very feasible in some aspects. Again, that was the outlandish take way back, you know, a month or so ago.
But, right.
Yeah, I just think this is a viable option for the Titans if they were to go grab a running back.
Well, and remember what I've always said, and this is you can meet me if you want to, but all you got to do is be better than three teams.
I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, you're not wrong there.
Make sure you didn't disappear on me. Yeah. No. You got to be better than Houston, Jacksonville, and Indianapolis. That's it. You don't have to be better than 29, 31, whatever, 31 other teams. Be better than three in your division. Make the playoff. Anything can happen.
But you look at this, you look at this Titans team as of right now, and you mentioned, you know, Tajay Spears in the backfield. That's the big issue with today's NFL football is everybody tried to go that split backfield to have your 1-2 punch. Whereas you look back and you and Chase even mentioned it yesterday about the smash and dash with the Chris Johnsons and the Lindell Whites of the world. You don't really have that right now. You kind of, again, Tony Pollard can run the ball. He's had 1,000 yards on the ground, but to me, he resembles a little bit of a scat back because of his size and his stature. Obviously, Tajay Spears is for sure a scat back. He's going to be catching balls out of the backfield. Again, you're right, Joe. He doesn't scare me back there. There's no versatility in that backfield.
Right. All right. Well, coming up next, Chase McCabe, I got something for you. You know, there's always accusations of who is wide receiver you, right? Tennessee claimed that in the 90s. I have a chart that shows you who the NFL receiving yards leaders by school since 1970.
Ooh.
I found this fascinating because sometimes you think, oh, that's receiver U. Oftentimes, it's not. And there's one school that takes the title of receiver U that's entered the NFL. We'll tell you what that is next.
We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. Right Time HVAC and Cromwell Media are teaming up to bring comfort back to your home. Is your heating system struggling or completely out of commission following the winter storms? Nominate yourself for the Right Time Home Rescue and tell us your story. Enter today at thegamenashville.com/HVAC and you could win a new HVAC system installed by Right Time HVAC. Right Time HVAC, locally owned and operated. There's never a wrong time to call Right Time. Chasing Big Joe at the Omni here on this Thursday. Before we get to your, I'm very intrigued by this leading receivers from each school in the NFL. Big Shark has a question on the Preds. What's going on, Big Shark?
Hey, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm just calling in to give my little input on the Nashville Predators. I'm a longtime fan. I really love the sport of hockey. I mean, I got into it when I was probably about in third grade. So I'd say like mid-2000s, early-2000s. But the only thing that I really don't like about the Predators organization is that it doesn't seem that they're really aggressive and competitive in the front office. And it shows on the ice year after year because, you know, we have teams that have competed, but we don't have those contender teams like the team we had in, you know, 2017. You know, the team that came in the first round, beat the crap out of, you know, Chicago, and they were the defending champs. And then you go beat your arch rivals, St. Louis, you know, 4-2, get them out of the way. And then you beat down another good Anaheim team. You know, those guys, then they were able to hold that moniker of Smashville. These last couple of years, I mean, just take the Smashville away because you guys aren't smashing anybody. You guys aren't aggressive in the front office. You're not aggressive on the first, second, or third lines. You know, your goalie is not aggressive enough to, you know, keep these games close to where you can secure, you know, certain wins to get points. So, I do believe that the Nashville Predators need a total rehaul. Not saying that the roster is not good because, you know, you got Stamkos and O'Reilly added to the roster with Yossi. But you didn't get those guys when they were in their prime, and that's the problem. You're not grabbing these elite guys when they're actually really, really good. You're getting them on the back end of their career, and it's killing your organization. It's killing your fan base, even though you're going to have the loyalty with the fan base because I'm going to go to game. I'm going to go to the matches either if they win or they lose, but at the same time, I want them to be contenders instead of competitors. We want to contend for Stanley Cups. We don't want to be competitors for the loudest arena or the best chance, which we do have that, and we have a great atmosphere. But with Nashville being Nashville, we need to be way more aggressive because you have the market to grow the sport, and you have the market to really have that big fan base like Boston and Detroit and, you know, other organizations. So that's my only take. Be more aggressive in the front office. You know, we have to have the attitude of where we have the best GM, the best coach, the best goalie, the best first, second, and third line, and that's just going to trickle down into the fan base, and you're going to see something like you did in 2017. But you guys have a good day, and y'all take it easy.
Thanks for the call, Big Shark. Appreciate it. And I get it, and you're right. And
it's a great call.
I think that's what makes it so intriguing And look, I think that the front office with Trotz and then Poyle before that, they made a lot of good moves. There were a lot of good times. But I understand where the fan base is coming from on we want a Stanley Cup. So that's a fair argument to have. And I think that's why it's going to be intriguing to see once somebody new comes in, what new ideas and philosophies look like.
Absolutely. And look, he's right about that. I mean, there's a lot of people that care about this hockey team and want to win. I mean, they want to see a Stanley Cup. They want the run again, which happened in 16, 17, a little bit in 18, which was fantastic. So I agree 100% with all that.
All right, what you got?
All right, so there's all the conversation has been about, oh, this is receiver U, that's receiver U, where did guys come from? So Tennessee in the 90s and 80s a little bit was like, we're wide receiver U. No Tennessee college player has ever led the NFL in receiving, ever.
Okay.
All right? So we're going to start this back with, we're going to go new to old. Like 2005, 2024, from what school led the league in passing receiving yards? 2024, it's a player. What do you think it is?
Led the NFL?
In receiving yards.
In receiving yards in 2024, Justin Jefferson.
Jamar Chase,
okay.
All right, so he did. So LSU's up there. 2023, a receiver from West Alabama led the league in passing yards received. 2023.
I'm so bad at this.
He's injured currently.
He's injured. Do you know Dr. Crane?
What was the first part of the question there, Joe?
This player played at West Alabama and led the NFL in receiving yards in 2023.
Cooper Kupp.
Nope. It is one. Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
2022. This young man from LSU led the league in receiving, and it is?
It's either Jefferson or Chase.
Justin Jefferson. Yeah. 2021. This young man out of Eastern Washington led the league in receiving.
Eastern Washington.
Dr. Crane just said it.
No. Oh, is it Cooper Kupp?
It is Cooper Kupp.
That's Triple Crown year, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah. All right. 2020, a receiver out of Maryland led the National Football League in receiving yards.
I don't know.
He just got cut.
Stephon Diggs.
Okay. Tennessee's not on this list. 2019, receiver out of Ohio State led the league in receiving. For the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, Olave? No.
Michael Thomas. 2018, an Alabama receiver led the NFL in receiving yards. It's the only Alabama receiver on the list.
2018, Julio?
Julio Jones. 2017, a player out of Central Michigan led the NFL in receiving yards. 2017. Played for the Steelers. Come on. Butch Jones recruited him.
Do you know Dr. Crane?
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown. 2016, this young man out of FIU led the league in receiving yards.
I have no idea.
T.Y. Hilton.
Okay.
2015, Alabama receiver.
When? 2015. Julio
Jones. All right. So we'll go down a little bit and figure this stuff out here. 2013, this receiver out of Baylor led the NFL in receiving yards for the Cleveland Browns.
Out of Baylor?
Got in trouble quite a bit. He's a hell of a receiver, though.
Oh, they finally cut him, didn't they?
Josh Gordon,
yeah.
So you go back in these lists. Miami Hurricanes have more receivers on this list, followed by Syracuse.
Miami, well, Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin is – let me go back here. Sam, hold on. He went back on me a little bit. 1991.
Okay.
Miami had three receivers in a row, which led the NFL in receiving yards from 2006 to 2008. 2007, 2009.
Do you know Dr. Crane?
One of them's a former Titan.
I do not.
Oh, from Houston. That guy.
Andre Johnson.
Andre Johnson.
Yeah, there you go.
I can't think right now. I'm sorry.
That's all right. One school which has led the league, which is up there with Miami, tied with Miami, and you know what this school is, Mississippi Valley State.
That would be Jerry Rice.
So with this being said, it's all about the system and the quarterback you get with.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line for all these stats. I mean, Rice got with Montana. You know, Marvin Harrison got with Peyton Manning. Justin Jefferson got with had a good year in 22 with – who was the quarterback 22 for them?
For
Minnesota. Oh, Kirk Cousins. Yeah.
Yeah.
24, Ja'Marr Chase had Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
It just shows you where you land. I was shocked that there's no Tennessee guy on this list. I don't know why. I just thought, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, who's the most successful Tennessee receiver in that has hit, been in the NFL?
Well, I mean, there's guy. I mean, like.
Joey Kent sucked. Justin Hunter sucked.
Well, I go back. I mean, you had Stanley Morgan in the 70s, 80s with the Patriots. You know, Alvin Harper had two good years with the Cowboys. He caught a ton of yards, but it wasn't up there. Anthony Miller with the Chargers was great.
Who was
Jalen Hyatt?
His son. His son played. I think his son played in the league too. But the dad, I think, went to one of them went to UT.
The son and the dad.
I think the son played in Baltimore.
Receiver?
Yeah.
I am stumped.
Stanley
Morgan, Alvin Harper, Carl Pickens.
Well, Pickens is one.
Yeah,
but that's
he
not who I'm thinking
list,
of.
Don't. Anthony Miller was a great receiver for the Chargers out of Tennessee.
God, who am I thinking of?
His son played?
I think so. I think he was, if I'm thinking of the right. Oh, this is going to drive me crazy. Hang on.
It's okay. Talk about yourself. How we doing? Mm-hmm.
Well, Juwan Jennings has been pretty good.
Yeah.
In the league.
Where do you guys rank Cordero Patterson? Because he was a wide receiver.
Yeah, he was both.
Guys, he's still in the league?
I'm not sure.
Remember when he caught a touchdown pass versus Troy in 2012 and he ran into the tunnel at Neyland Stadium? We were like, just keep running to the combine, buddy, because this football team you're on isn't any good. That joke landed well back then.
This is going to drive.
So this guy was a receiver, him and his dad?
Yeah.
What year are we looking at here?
Dante Stallworth. That's who I'm thinking of.
Pretty good receiver. Who was his dad?
Didn't his dad play?
No,
or, no okay. Maybe
Stallworth was good. He was okay.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah,
he was drafted 13th overall by the Saints.
What year was that?
'02. Because Albert was two picks later.
Okay.
John Henderson. That was John Henderson, Stallworth, and Albert all went in the first round.
That was 2002. Is Witten in that draft?
Yes. No, next year.
All right, the next year. Good Lord.
Kelly Washington went the next year.
The old man. He was like 38 when he was playing at UT because he played baseball before that.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
For some reason, I thought he was a junior.
No, he's not.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So that's who I was thinking of.
A few guys. But, again, it shows you the right system, right quarterback, where you could really do things and turn it around. I mean, there's some interesting, like.
Dante Stallworth played for the Saints, the Eagles, the Patriots, the Browns, the Ravens, the Redskins, back to the Patriots, and back to the Redskins.
I think he also killed somebody in a car wreck.
Yeah, he did.
I think that was right. Yeah. Michigan State's on the list. Mushin Muhammad in 2004 led the league. So.
Yeah. Did Derek ever lead the league in.
No.
I didn't think so.
Receiving, nope.
How did Peerless Price do in the NFL?
Did okay. He played
with the Bills.
With the Bills, he ended up with the Falcons. I mean, he wasn't great, but he was not bad at all.
You mentioned Cedric Wilson. David Martin was one.
David Martin.
I'm just looking. I'm looking at receivers drafted. Mark Jones. Robert Meacham with the Saints.
Yeah, he was the number one pick. 06?
Yeah, he was the 27th overall pick. That's funny. Denarius Moore, I don't remember him. Cordell Patterson, Justin Hunter.
Oh, Charles Ladd, Willie Gault. Oh, my. How the heck did we forget Willie Gault?
Josh Malone.
Hey,
he didn't.
Cup
I mean,
of coffee.
He didn't pan out.
Thank you, Charles, for that.
That's
I completely
one.
Forgot about Willie Gault. Anyway, a little
Josh Palmer
down.
Did okay with the Chargers.
He's still playing, isn't he?
He might be.
All right.
He's with the Bills.
With the Bills now. Yeah. All right. There you go,
with
buddy.
The Bills. So there you go. That's Bayless Jones. Is another one. We'll have more coming here. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 the game here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski here in a few minutes. From ESPN, as the trade deadline continues or looms or however you want to put
something that goes on
for the NHL.
A lot of refreshing of your Twitter feed, X feed, tonight and tomorrow about what goes on.
Yes.
Is the NHL the one league on trade deadline close to it where – because the NFL, there's no – there might be one or two. Baseball, there's usually a few. But is the NHL the one where, I mean, massive amounts of deals are made at the trade deadline? I think –
yeah.
I somehow think it is.
The NBA. I would say the NHL and the NBA are pretty similar in that.
Okay.
The NFL has picked up. Like, I remember talking to Floyd about this, and he said, you know, trades were made at the deadline, but not big ones. But he felt like post 2011 or whenever it was, you saw them really pick up.
Yeah, I could see that. Just NFL trade midseason, just there's like when Byard got traded to the Eagles in 23, that was shocked a little bit. But also it's like, you got to leave here, fly there, learn the system, and then play the next few days. I mean, hockey, I think you could acclimate yourself quicker in basketball as well. Like, all right, plug in, here's what we're going to do, get in there. Football, I mean, you got 10 other guys around you. There's a lot to go. That's why I don't see a lot of midseason trades that happen. That's why next week free agency was going to be absolutely psychotic.
So something to kind of keep in mind. There was a reported trade yesterday with Parayko from the St. Louis Blues getting traded to Buffalo, and he has trade protection, so he vetoed it. And people are like, well, why? Like, he shouldn't be able to do that. They collectively bargained that players can get trade protection, and therefore, if they don't want to waive it, they don't have to. It's their right. And that and that's the part where this is the human side of this.
Right.
Like, Ryan O'Reilly is a husband and a father. And they chose Nashville because Nashville's a great place to live. Now, I get the business side. I certainly understand that, too. But people that get mad of, like, well, he shouldn't have any say or whatever, like, there is a human side to this. Like, there's other things. Hal Gill's talked about it multiple times of getting traded in the middle of the season and his wife has to deal with, you know, the kids and school and the house and all that stuff.
But I feel like you know this.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, it sucks.
And I'm not, you know, they make a good living to do this. So it's like, I'm not necessarily feeling sorry for them. I'm just saying, keep it in mind that it affects more than just the player.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's why they have this trade protection where they have a little more say. Now, look, if Barry Trotz goes to Steven Stamkos and says, hey, Buffalo really wants to trade for you. They're offering me a really, really good deal. You know, it would really do me a solid if you would take that. They can have that conversation. Now, he could say no. Or he could say, hey, you know, if that's the best deal you're going to get, then I'll ultimately say yes. Would you do me a solid and call Tampa Bay or call X and say,
right,
you know, see what they would offer you? Because I'd rather go there. Then you can work the phones and try and do that. But the other thing to consider is teams may know that, and so they're going to lowball you.
So with that being said, that's the same way with Will Levis.
Correct.
I'm not trying to switch things here, but if I know you're getting rid of Will Levis,
I'm not going to pay you that much.
I'm not going to pay anything.
Right.
You're going to cut him. And if I can get him, I get him. If not, I don't. But I'm not going to give you anything for that.
It's in any type of negotiation, the car dealer is probably the best analogy, but – you go into something knowing you want it, and you really want it, and they know you really want it, but you got to have that point where you're willing to walk away, because 9 times out of 10, they're not going to let you walk out the door.
No, is this equal to the 04 Titans, the salary cap purge?
No, because the Preds didn't really have any salary cap issues. This is a rebuild.
But letting guys go, right?
But the difference is, Floyd had kind of maxed out the credit card. Like, you had kicked, you know, they backloaded contracts and would kick stuff down the road and all
right,
that.
Yeah.
And finally it got to the point where they had to pay the bill. And so, you know, I think they had done all they could do. And Bud was like, yeah, I'm not restructuring. I'm not like, let's start over. And so that's kind of where they got to that point.
Took them 05 was terrible. 06 was 8-8. 07, they made the playoffs, lost to the Chargers, and 08
that was with Vince.
08 was the 13-3 team, which should have.
06, they switched to Vince halfway through the year, and they went 8-8, right?
That's right.
And then the next year made the playoffs and lost to Marty Schottenheimer and the Chargers.
Sure did.
And Marty got fired after losing to.
I think they made the AFC Championship.
And I think they lost, and then he got fired.
07, yep.
So. Coming up next, we'll talk to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. We'll do that. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.